Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Checkout. You can get on iTunes, Stitcher, always on our homepage, checkoutjazz.org, produced at WBGO in Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Today, we're doing something a little different. First, we're going to hear a very short story from a growing legend in jazz. Joe Lovano, the saxophonist, shows his appreciation of Ben Webster. First, learning about his music while growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, from his father, and then, later in life, dedicating a blues, a composition to him that he recorded in 2005 with the piano legend Hank Jones at the Newport Jazz Festival.
Back when you were sure of me, back when we were sure of things.
And then we take you to this year's Montreal Jazz Festival and introduce you to a new vocalist on the scene here in New York City. Her name is Emma Frank. She writes songs of melancholy on her latest recording, Ocean Avenue, featuring the pianist Aaron Parks, along with the drummer Jim Black. We'll hear her story a little bit later in the program. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in.
Hi, this is Joe Lovano, and you're listening to my music on The Checkout, WBGO. Growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, my dad played tenor saxophone, was on the scene there, coming up with Tad Dameron and others, really in the 40s into the 50s. He had a close friend that was legendary guitarist, Bill DiArango, who was in New York during the 52nd Street period and was in one of Ben Webster's quintets playing at the Onyx on 52nd Street. So Bill had a chance to record with Dizzy and Bird and Ben, and was on Sarah Vaughan's first recording. So I just grew up like in this environment, knowing about the music and some of the players. Ben Webster was one of the most beautiful voices in the music, and very influential for everyone who ever heard him. Because you not only listened to what he played, but you heard how he was playing with so much feeling and expression. For me, that really captured me as a teenager. The recording Ben Webster with Art Tatum on piano is one of the most amazing recordings ever recorded. Ben is playing very simple and lyrical and so beautiful, and Art Tatum is a full orchestra around him. For me, that was a really influential recording. As I developed in my own way through the years, playing with the great Hank Jones was a dream for me. And I had a chance to record quite a few recordings on Blue Note Records with Hank, George Mraz, and Paul Motion on drums. Toured in Europe, and Louis Nash was on drums on this tour. We played at the Copenhagen Jazz Festival, a Big Ben Webster tribute. And I wrote this tune, Big Ben, which is featured on my latest release on Blue Note Records, live at Newport. And now we're going to listen to my composition, Big Ben. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Joe Lovano Classic Quartet featuring the late Hank Jones, recorded in 2005 at the Newport Jazz Festival but released on Blue Note Records in 2016. The Joe Lovano Quartet comes to the Village Vanguard in New York City beginning August 28th. In just a moment, we take you to the Montreal Jazz Festival and introduce you to a singer that lived there for a while, studied at McGill University, now resides in New York City. Her name is Emma Frank. That's up next. This is The Checkout. Emma Frank, the composer, singer, joins us on The Checkout at the Montreal International Jazz Festival. Actually, it's kind of a homecoming of sorts. Spent some time in this beautiful city, and we'll talk about that. But let's get into Ocean Avenue. Why don't we just go into the title track?
Wish you would come home. And that and it has
Ocean Avenue, which is buried on the back end of the album. What you're not a fan of the title track, Ocean Avenue, Emma Frank?
I'm actually a total fan of it, but I have such a clear memory of listening to CDs that I bought when I was in middle school or younger. And the first three tracks, they were always singer-songwriters, the first three tracks were gold, and I couldn't listen to the rest of the album. And it's just like a very standard.
Yeah, you put the good stuff up top.
Yeah, and I wanted people to be like, oh, wait, I have to get to that track.
You know? Very strategic.
Totally.
You're sort of a newcomer here in New York City, where you currently reside. But here at the Montreal Jazz Festival, does it feel a little bit special to come back and perform for your brethren here in Canada? I mean, what are your Canadian roots exactly?
So I moved here when I was 18 to go to McGill. I did a literature degree on my father's urging because he thought music was too not practical, interesting. And I stayed. And every time I come here, I experience a huge wave of nostalgia. And also the question of like, am I going to move back and when and how? And unlike Boston, where I grew up, I just hadn't really seen people explore a creative life with the same dedication that I did here. And there are so many reasons for that in the States. Yeah.
And so what is that in Montreal? What is that?
Economics, culture. Like, cheap rent is a huge part of it. That I went from growing up in Brooklyn and being like very, very goal oriented to having quite a lot of space in my life, like not a lot of responsibilities, as opposed, you know, I immediately had healthcare. And when they gave it to me, they apologized for like the $30 fee of my card. But other than that, I was covered. So I was shocked by the sort of standard of living. And also by all of the amazing, creative, beautiful people that are here, organizing their lives around community and around making this a nice place to be.
And this is really the place too, where you decided that you were going to become an artist.
Yeah, totally. And I came to so many Montreal Jazz Festival shows and felt this like, I really want to do that. Like that kind of performing, I'm really into it. I see that context as something that makes sense to me. So yeah, I feel really lucky and excited and awesome to be back here.
Okay, well, why don't we listen to some of your songwriting? I guess some of these lyrics you may have penned when you were a literary student at McGill or not?
No. No, I graduated far too long ago.
Yeah. Okay, that's okay. But we'll get a taste of your literary skills in addition to your musical skills how about Reminder?
It's only right of you to question my intentions. Gets me into
I like that tune, Reminder. All these songs are so sad, and you're so nice and bubbly. What's up with that?
Are they sad?
Kind of.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, very moody, very vibey, very like, you don't think so? Well, I know it's about a breakup, so you can't.
But it's also not about a breakup.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a bubbly songwriter. I definitely like seek songwriting to process emotions and to process my life, and usually to dig deeper with sort of melancholy or stuck feelings, confusions,
angst.
Excuse me.
I hear some angst in here.
I was going for more like a very elevated yoga teacher, not angsty, very zen.
Really?
Well, no, I'm being facetious, but yeah, I guess I there's an angsty element. I try and have the older sister in my head, mother in my head, wise voice in my head, who's urging me away from dark holes for that voice to prevail in my songs. And it's sort of like how I process being depressed or being angry or being whatever it is. And
well, why don't we, if you don't mind, and if you don't mind sharing to us a little bit about yourself personally, why don't we go inside one of these songs?
Sure.
And you can like unpack it for us.
Okay. Although it's at the very end of the album, the one like very much breakup song is Good Morning, Good Night.
Okay.
And that was the first song in this group of songs that was written. And
oh,
I wrote
wow.
it in my apartment in Park Extension that I shared with my partner at the time, who actually plays trumpet on the very end of this track. And it was just this inkling that things were not as they seemed anymore. It was this growing discomfort that when I looked around, I was like, ooh, I have it really well. Like, things are very good. And I'd sort of been telling myself that I was settling, that this is where I was, and I was with my maybe life partner, and I was going to stay in Montreal my whole life. And basically, I wrote that song, and within about a month, I met my current husband.
Whoa.
And moved to New York. And it felt very psychic, and I even played this song for him, for my husband, when I met him. And, you know, then I had my ex play trumpet on it. Like, it was just a very, all the things coming together.
And your ex was cool with it, with everything?
He's the coolest.
Wow.
He's the best, yeah.
Very selfless and letting you go.
I think he was relieved, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for all parties involved.
Totally.
Good morning.
Too much information.
And good night.
Thank you. making love to someone I barely know. When I wake, always next to you. Oh, this comfort can be uncomfortable. So kiss me good morning, kiss me good night. There's so much to do before.
You have a couple of great players on this recording, Aaron Parks, Jim Black.
They are so wonderful, and they're amazing friends. And
you do yoga underneath Aaron Parks' piano.
That's yet another example of things I wish I hadn't said in an interview. I didn't plan on being quoted on that. And when I read it, I was like, oh, no. And Aaron was like, I like it. No, it was very embarrassing.
It's a funny image.
Yeah, it's suggestive in a way that it actually is not in real life. Like, really, I just like to do yoga, like mostly resting poses, while Aaron improvises. It's beautiful, and it's really crazy that this person that I've been listening to since I was 16 and revering and hoping to play with is a friend who I get to like have these little windows into his creative process. It's really fun.
Cool. Take us to a moment on the recording that you love Aaron's playing particularly.
I love so much of it. The solo on Sunless Morning, most of the tracks we maybe took 4 or 5 takes of. Sunless Morning, I would say we took 20-ish. Wow. And part of what I love about Aaron is...
I'm glad you can admit that.
Oh, man. This one was hard. And part of it is that it was so, like... so charged and heavy that it was hard to get into that emotion in an authentic way in studio while recording.
What's the heaviness of this moment in your...
I was so depressed and so unsure of all the newness that I'd...
What happened?
Well, I moved to New York, and I moved straight into my husband's room, and it was just kind of crazy. We were both... obviously people that move very quickly, there was a lot of doubt and uncertainty and insecurity,
vulnerability
but also another little juicy secret for the listeners. I went on Prozac two years ago after writing Sunless Morning, after recording this whole album, and it and when I look back at certain songs, like Sunless Morning, I was like, oh, I think if I'd been on Prozac, that would have been a different song.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel as an artist?
I don't know.
Is
I haven't
it an
unwrapped
honest
it yet.
Statement anymore?
Sunless Morning?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, sometimes you would think taking substances will allow you to become more free, perhaps.
Yeah.
What does Prozac do?
Prozac means that when I start getting dark, I see it happening. And rather than my brain being like, that's right, go there. It sucks. Everything sucks. Life is horrible. My brain's like, hey, looks like you're getting pretty dark. You want to come out of there for a little bit, for a breath? And I'm like, okay. Thanks, brain. Really appreciate that. So I guess I just feel like the emotional stamina that it took for me to walk around Prospect Park and just like feel awful. I mean, I'm about to contradict myself. I don't know what is an antidepressant doing its job and what is a very typical response to a ton of external change and big moves. And it also just so happens that I am in a really wonderful relationship right now and have a great job and very mostly stable in my life. And so it definitely does not feel untrue when I look back at a song that is like moving around some pretty intense sadness. Thankfully, those emotions don't feel super familiar to me right now. But I also sort of acknowledge that regardless of how good your life is at any moment, things can fall apart. And you don't know how they will. I think I was definitely borrowing from the Pema Chodron, Things Fall Apart. It was a very helpful book for me at that moment.
Self-annihilation here on the checkout.
So then we got married.
Then things really went downhill.
Yeah.
No, that's beautiful. Falling in love is great. So is your best friend also your husband then?
My best friend is myself. I think my goal is to always be my own best friend and see things through the lens of my own truth, even if that is at odds with where I currently am, just to try and... I mean, I'm also best friends with my husband. He's awesome. But yeah, as a creative person, especially as a person, I like to be very close to myself.
All right. Well, Emma Frank, thank you so much for spending a little time with us and getting to know your music. Good luck finding the sunlight piercing through the clouds.
Thank you.
Original music by the singer-songwriter Emma Frank on her recording Ocean Avenue. Emma Frank joins the pianist Aaron Parks in a dual concert in New York City, August 22nd at the Rockwood Music Hall, 9 p.m. We thank Joe Lovano and Emma Frank for joining us on today's edition of the program. If you like it, definitely give us a review on iTunes and Stitcher. All of our shows are archived on our homepage at checkoutjazz.org. And follow us on social media. Find our Facebook page at checkoutjazz, our Twitter handle at Simon Rettner on Instagram. Anthony Nieves, shout out to him. Thanks for his production assistance. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.